We're going to go ahead and move right into the Word of God. I'm sure you received a bulletin when you came in. If you didn't, go ahead and lift your hands up, because there's a couple things in there that you might want to look at. So good. Looks like everybody got one. Lorna's at the door faithfully handing those out. Thank you, Lorna. And folding them for me and stuff. So there's a couple things in there we'll refer to. There's a card in there about a Q&A card. If you have questions regarding the messages that we're delivering this summer on knowing God's will, please feel free to write down your questions and turn them in to me so that we can answer them during the course of these sermons, the Sunday sermon on knowing God's will. Let's see. And then there's a sheet in there. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Also, there's a connection card in there if you'd like to fill out the connection card with any prayer requests or any special messages for us. Please feel free to do that. You can hand them to me, or you can place them in the drop box that's in the foyer out there in the hallway. Today I'd like to talk to you about pursuing your purpose. Pursuing your purpose. And before I do that, I'd like to show you a inspirational interview that was done by a man on the Christian Broadcasting Network. Some of you may know who he is, some of you don't. You will in just a minute. And I believe this will help set us up for what we're going to talk about today. So if the technical crew is ready, make sure we have sound, and go ahead and run it, Rachel.
What makes someone extraordinary? Their abilities? Their talents? Or simply, their smile? When I first met Nick Vujicic, I knew I had just encountered someone extraordinary. From the moment he began to share his amazing story with me, I witnessed firsthand how God is using a man with no arms and no legs to be God's hands and his feet.
My dad was saying that he was, you know, his head was next to my mom's head as I was being born, and he saw my shoulder, and he just went pale. He was hoping my mom didn't see me, because he saw that I had no right arm. And my dad had to leave the room, and he couldn't believe what he saw. And the doctor came in, and my dad said, "My son, he has no right arm." And he says, "No, your son has no arms or legs." And he said he nearly fell on the floor. He couldn't believe it. And the whole church was mourning, you know, like, why would God let the pastor's son be born that way? And my mom, at first, she didn't want to hold me. She didn't want to, you know, breastfeed me and all that. She just felt very uncomfortable for the first 4 months, and it took them quite a while before they could trust in God that he didn't make a mistake, that he didn't forget them or me.
Nick's parents gave their fear and even disappointment in their son's disability over to the Lord. They chose to trust God and his promise that he had a plan and purpose, a hope and a future for their son. But as the years passed, Nick, on the other hand, had many challenges trusting in a God that he felt gave him less.
I challenged God. I said, "God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I won't probably have peace until you're in my heart, but I will not let you in my heart until you answer me why. Why did you take my arms and legs? Why didn't you give me what everybody else has?" And I said, "God, until you answer me that question, I will not serve you." And so I wanted to end it. If God wasn't going to end my pain, I was going to end it myself. So at age 8, I tried to drown myself in a bathtub of 4 inches of water. I told my mom and dad, "I'm just going to relax in the bathtub. Can you put me in the bathtub?" And I turned over a couple times to see if I could do it. I couldn't do it. The thought that stopped me from going through with it was the love for my parents. Because I love them so much, and all they did was love me. And I thought to myself, if I actually went through with this, I pictured my funeral, I pictured my parents, and all I saw was guilt on their shoulders, that they couldn't have done more.
That would be the last time Nick would attempt suicide. But it wouldn't be the last time he would come face to face with those deep issues that made him want to end the pain. Then one day, Nick's mother had him read an article about a severely disabled man. And that man's story made a huge impact on Nick.
I have a choice to either be angry at God for what I don't have or be thankful for what I do have. And my mom, she said, Nick, God's going to use you. I don't know how, I don't know when, but God's going to use you. And those seeds started penetrating in my heart. And that's when I started seeing that there is no point in being complete on the outside when you're broken on the inside. And I found out that God can heal you without changing a circumstance. I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I read John 9 at age 15, where a man was coming through a village, and a man, this blind man from birth, Jesus saw him. People said, why was this man born that way? Jesus said, it was done so that the works of God may be revealed through him. And in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. And I believe God breathed in me life and faith. This faith came over me. This peace came over me. And I felt like God answered my question.
And what was the question and what was the answer?
The question was, why? Why did you make me this way? And the answer was, do you trust me? That's the question. And when you say yes to that question, nothing else matters.
But what was it specifically for you that made you say, Lord, I'm going to trust your word because I know it's true. I'm going to trust you even if I don't know what you have in store for me tomorrow.
Right. Because there was nothing else I could find. There was nothing else that could give me peace. I knew arms and legs wouldn't give me peace anyway, arms and legs alone. I needed to know the truth of who I am, why I'm here, and where I'm going when I'm not here. And I haven't found that truth anywhere else but in Jesus Christ.
And it was in Jesus Christ where Nick found the strength to do what many thought would be the impossible.
It's so hard to be strong when people constantly say, you're not good enough, you know, go away, you know, we don't want anything to do with you. Nick, you're a nobody. Nick, you can't do this. Nick, you can't do that. Nick. In life, if you don't know the truth, then you can't be free. Because then you'll believe that the lies are the truth. But once we realize that when we read the Word of God and you know the truth of who you are, I am not a man without arms and legs. I am a child of God. I am forgiven of my sins. I'm an ambassador of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm nothing but a servant of the Most High God. This is not about Nick. It's not about Nick's capacity and capability to become this conqueror. I am nothing. I'm nothing. God, though, lives in me, and I now live in His strength. And whatever Jesus conquered, I conquer. I believe if God doesn't give you a miracle, you are a miracle of God for somebody else's salvation. And I thank God that He didn't answer my prayer when I was begging Him for arms and legs at age 8. Because guess what? Because I have no arms and no legs, He's using me all around the world. And we've seen so far, approximately, this is conservative, 200,000 souls come to Jesus Christ for the very first time in the last 6-7 years. And what would you rather? Would you rather have arms and legs, Nick, here on earth and no arms? No, whatever His will is. Because I'd rather have no arms and no legs temporarily here on earth to be able to reach someone else for Jesus Christ and then spend eternity with them there.
In the last decade, Nick has shared his story in 24 countries to over 3 million people. And whether he's talking to a stadium packed with people or one single person, his heart behind the message is the same.
God loves you. That He hasn't forgotten your pain. He hasn't forgotten your family. And maybe while you're watching this interview, you've compared your suffering to my suffering. And that's not where hope is, to know that someone else, in your opinion, is suffering more than you. That's not where hope is. But hope is in the name of God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope is when you compare your suffering to the infinite, immeasurable love and grace of God. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, they shall mount up on wings as eagles. I didn't need my circumstance to change. I don't need arms and legs. I need the wings of the Holy Spirit. And I'm flying because I know Jesus is holding me up. Don't give up on God, because God will not give up on you.
got so wrapped up in the video, I forgot to put my mic on. I've watched that several times, and I get something different out of it every time I watch Nick's story. And he's got many more stories up on YouTube that you can search for and see the ministry he has, tremendous ministry he has around the world, touching people's lives. And you can see why, because he's really truly got a purpose. And the thing that I always take away from watching him is that you don't need anything in the natural to fulfill a God-given purpose. All you need is God's purpose and the obedience to carry it out. And you can become whatever God has called you to be, no matter whether you have things or strength or intellect or abilities or anything. He gives you whatever you need to fulfill your purpose. And so his purpose is to be what God's called him to be, and an example that without arms and legs, you can fulfill God's purpose. Without the things that people think are important that would cause most people to live a life of either depression or want to end their life, like it did with Nick, to be able to say, God, I trust you, that whatever situation I'm in, it can turn around for your glory. Now, Nick's situation didn't have to turn around for God's glory, but he chose that it was going to, and that's our choice, and that's where we cooperate with God. So today I want to talk to you about pursuing your purpose. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Of course, it'll be up on the screen here, but if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to it, or if you're taking notes, just write this down. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Here's an amazing scripture here, because we read this, and we know that Paul always prayed for people, the churches that he ministered to, he prayed for them, but he's praying for something very specific here, and it relates to what I'm going to talk about today. Paul says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. I love that. He does not cease to pray for you. He's constantly committed to praying for something, and here is what it is: that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wow. So he wants you to be filled with that deep, clear, full understanding of God's will, with the wisdom to know how to carry out his purpose and plan for your life. And that's what this summer series is about, helping you discover the will of God, his purpose for you, finding it, focusing on it, following it, fulfilling it, living it out. Because here's the thing. Once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, once you've connected with God, your Creator, through faith in Jesus Christ, you're on this earth to fulfill God's given purpose for you. You're on this earth for God's given purpose. And Paul says, I am making ceaseless, committed prayer that you would find out what that is. And I do that for you as well. I do that for you in prayer, and I do that for you here. And Lori and I do that on Sunday mornings to help you move into what God's will is for your life. Every person on the earth, including Nick, is born for a purpose. Now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that the Bible says God pre-planned the good works for your life. He formed you in your mother's womb. He created you as a divine piece of artwork, a workmanship, a piece of tapestry, his creativity. So he created Nick that way. Now, we don't understand that. We think, well, maybe that's a mutation or a freak of nature, a result of brokenness and sin. I mean, we could speculate as to, you know, the cruelty of that, or why would a loving God let that happen or whatever. Or we can say, look, you know, we're going to trust that God's going to turn around Nick's situation, even if it was caused by something that wasn't God's will. We're going to turn that around, believe that God can turn that around for good. And I love his statement there. He's on fire. Some people who've got everything in the world, including money, want to kill themselves. Here's a guy, got no arms and legs, he's on fire. What would you rather be? Depressed with arms and legs, or full of
joy and on fire with no arms and legs. Yeah, it's pretty simple, isn't it? It's pretty simple. We want the emotional passion. We want the emotional stimulation of knowing that we're in the center of what God's called us to do, no matter what our circumstances are. And trust me, I know, because I've been there many times where my circumstances were like, gee, could I do something to change my circumstances? You know, you all your emotions are all like, instead, you have to say, you know what? I'm going to put my trust in God at this moment to change my circumstances, and I'm just going to focus on what he's called me to do. Because that's where true satisfaction comes. That's where true meaning in life comes, is by fulfilling your purpose. Every person is born with a purpose. When we are born, God doesn't say, hey, there's another one of these humans. What are we going to do with this one? We better find something for them to do. Say maybe they could be a basketball player, or maybe they could do this. You know, that's not how it works. God isn't surprised when you're born. He's not trying to figure out what he's called you to do once you pop out of your mother's womb. He knows he's created you, and he's put gifts within you to accomplish. Now, it's our responsibility, and he certainly helps us a lot, but it is our responsibility to seek out what God has called us to do on the earth, to find out our purpose, to pursue our purpose. And that's what I want to challenge you to do today, not to be, you know, kaisara, sara, whatever happens, or, you know, not to be dissatisfied with your circumstances. But you know what? Life happens. You know, life isn't always the way we want it to be. You know, one of the things that the children say sometimes to me in the daycare is, that wasn't fair. And I went, you know, you're right. And what's your point? It should be? Okay, well, it's not going to be, all right? Not things are going to go the way we want. What's fair anyway, right? If we were going to get what's fair, we'd all be, where would we be? I mean, we really don't want what we deserve, do we? All right, no, we don't. So we understand that it's not necessarily what we want, but what God has called us and purposed for our lives that we have to focus on. And that's going to be my talk here today. Mom Wilkie says, or has always said, God doesn't create anything without a purpose. And since you are a creation of God, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. And I would add to my mom's statement, and what life are you waiting for to pursue and live that purpose? This is the only one we've got. Pursue it, live it. All right? And so sometimes people have a question about, well, how to do that. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that today. Psalm 139:16 says this. I think it's up there. Psalm 139, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So God's got some plans for us. He's got some things created for us to do. I believe the things that God has created us for us to do are much more meaningful than the things we have created for ourselves to do. We have a tendency to lean towards things that are sometimes not even healthy for ourselves. But God's work, God's purpose is not only energizing and exciting, the real purpose of God, not religion. The real purpose of God is really energizing and exciting and healthy and prosperous for your life, because it leads to the abundant life. How many of you were here a couple weeks ago when we started this talk, and I said I wanted to be your destiny coach, all right? And I gave you an assignment. You remember the assignment? Okay. How many of you did the assignment? See, now here's the thing. You told me you wanted to help find out what the will of God was for your life, and I said, this is going to help you, and so I gave you an assignment, right? How many of you are embarrassed that should I just move on? All right. So what I wanted to do was, Kurt, what was the assignment, Kurt? Do you remember? thank you, Barb. That's right. She left it at home and forgot it. It's in the mail. So here's the exercise, and you could do this, and this is a good thing to do all the time. You take a piece of paper, you write down, in fact, in your bulletin, this is where that bulletin comes into play here, you have a piece of paper that says, God's will for my life. See, Pastor Tom's doing your homework for you. Here it is. Okay, this is an open book test. All right, this is an open book test. You can open the Bible and find all kinds of things that is God's will for you. What does he want you to do? What does he want you to think? What does he want you to say? What does he want you to become? You just write all those things down. You're going to probably need a bigger piece of paper than this. But this is a good thing. When you say, what's God's will for my life? Boom, it's right there. You put it on the refrigerator. You put it on your bathroom mirror, wherever you want. Put it in your car. Don't read it while you're driving, but you can put it there. This is God's will for your life. This is the beginning. This is a start so that you know, hey, if I'm doing this, if I'm living this way, if I'm saying these things, if I'm thinking this, if I'm becoming that, this is God's will for my life. This is part of my purpose to do those things. Now, you can go ahead and do that. A couple Wednesday nights ago, we got a flip chart out and everybody started giving us their opinions. We came up with a couple of pages of things that we know are God's will for our life. Now, what you're probably thinking, well, there's got to be a life-altering, world-changing purpose. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about forgiving people. I mean, we all know we're supposed to forgive people. We all know we're supposed to attend church. We all know we're supposed to, you know, do this and that. I want a life-changing, universal, I want to make a dent in the universe. I mean, you know what? You can't make a dent in God's universe if you're not doing the things that you already know. If you're not forgiving people, and if you're not walking in love towards one another, and if you're not encouraging others, and if you're not unselfish, you can't even think about some of the things that God has maybe called you to. So let's start with the basics, and then you can move forward in some of the things that you might be thinking, this is my unique, specific area where only, I mean, my fingerprint is not like anybody else's. This is what I'm called to do, and nobody else is. Well, there is something like that for you. But I'm encompassing the things that are going to help you specifically with the things that we already know God has called you to do specifically, even if it's universal to everyone else. Here's another thing that will help us pursue our purpose. And this is a challenge that Paul gave to Timothy. And I think it's on the screen. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you're taking notes. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 20 to 22. And this is an interesting illustration, or I would say a metaphor, that Paul uses here. He says, in a wealthy home, there are some utensils that are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. It's just kind of, you know, like we consider sometimes. Some people have very gifted, some people are just minor gifted. But what he's talking about here is we are God's vessels, and we get to choose whether we are gold and silver vessels or whether we are going to be wood and clay vessels, or today we might say styrofoam and plastic, all right? The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones for everyday use. Now, here Paul uses these utensils, or these vessels, these serving utensils, to show how our lives should be ready and prepared to be used by God, correct? To be ready and prepared to be used by God. The special occasions are when God uses us for his purposes and his plans. And then here's how he says to go about it. Verse 21. He says, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean. It will be ready for the masters to use for every good work. If you keep yourself pure, if you keep yourself set apart from the things that are not of God, if you keep yourself set apart from the things that are worldly or distract you from the things of God, if you keep yourself separated and spiritually minded, focused on what God has called you to do versus what your flesh wants to do all the time, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special vessel, a vessel of gold and silver, of divine nature. How do you do that? Verse 22. Run. Everybody say run. Run away from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Run. Not think about not doing it, not battling with temptation, not thinking, well, I think I'll leave or I'll walk away. He doesn't say any of that. He says, run. You know what that means? If somebody was after you to kill you, you would turn around and run as fast as you can. Okay? I've seen people I've seen people who were trying to run so fast they broke their foot just trying to run away. And then what they were running from, a little mouse. A little mouse pops. Ah! They run away and they... This is what it means here. You run away so fast, you're almost out of control. Maybe some of you have done that. I don't know. So run. And then he says, instead of letting these youthful lusts, and that, he's not saying here that you have to be young to have these. He just says, remember when you were 17 and you had these youthful lusts? Yeah, well, it doesn't matter how old you are. You can still have youthful lusts. Don't let them stimulate you, that you run from them, because they're going to keep you from becoming a vessel that God can use. Is anybody here today? All right. Shout amen, somebody. Instead, pursue with the same passion that you were running away, pursue righteousness or righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace, and enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Last sentence. To be interpreted, only hang around with those people who can help you fulfill your purpose. And who they are is those who call on the name of the Lord with pure hearts. Your relationships will determine if you fulfill your purpose in life or not. And there's many scriptures, but this is one of them. One of them we know says, bad morals corrupts good character. He says here, if you want to fulfill and be a vessel for God to use to fulfill his purpose in your life, enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure heart. Huge. That's huge. The majority of young people today never get this. Peer pressure for them, I'm out of words. Oh, peer pressure, okay? And I understand you want friends. But sometimes we want friends more than we want the plans and purposes of God. And you get to choose. You get to choose if you want to hang out with friends that are going to take you to hell. You get to choose that. The deception is thinking that they're not going to influence you. And when you get to be an adult, it doesn't matter. People around you still influence you. You think, well, I'm strong enough to be around these people. I'm strong enough to be around the people who are gossiping. I'm strong enough to be around the people who have unforgiveness. I'm strong to be around the people who are tampering with, on the border of sin and this, doing this and that and the other thing. I'm strong enough. Hey, you know what? If the Bible says you were strong enough, he'd say, don't worry about it. Fulfill your purpose and hang out with whoever you want to. But it doesn't say that. It says if you want to be a gold and a silver vessel, hang around with these kind of people, because the other people will pull you down. Do not be deceived. In fact, that's the way that scripture in Corinthians starts when Paul says, be careful who you hang around with. He says, do not be deceived. Bad morals corrupts good character. It's like saying if you're a pure glass of water and your friends are, black ink, and they drop their little ink into your water, your water starts to turn cloudy. That's your life. And then all of a sudden, you get deceived into thinking, well, this isn't so bad. If they're doing it, I can do it. And ultimately, you end up running from the call of God, and bad things will happen to you. Now, in the time that remains this morning, I want to give you three things that will help you want to pursue your purpose. Okay, that's a good, I like that when every time I make a point, the alarm goes on. And, or hold my calls, one of the two. All right, number one, the first thing I want to share with you that will help you pursue your purpose is to know that without a purpose, or without the pursuit of your purpose, number one, your life will be meaningless. Number one, without the pursuit of your purpose, your life will be meaningless. Without purpose, life has no real meaning. Without the pursuit of purpose, life has no real meaning. I mean, why do we exist? I mean, if I was to ask you, why do you exist? You know, sometimes, a lot of times, we go through our entire life without even asking the question. Well, existence is our purpose. Why do we exist? Okay? Do you want the church answer? Here's the church answer. We exist to glorify God. Okay. Well, that's not necessarily a bad answer. It's just the one that you can share in church because, you know, it applies to everybody. We exist to glorify God. So if you're not, if what you do does not glorify God, you're not doing the thing God created you for. Okay. And that can play out in all kinds of different things here. So the question is, well, what is my specific reason for existence? Why is Tom Wilkie on the planet? All right, why is Barb Hampton on the planet? Why is David Robinson on the planet? Why is John Robinson on the planet? And I think if anybody really wants to do what God's called them to do, they're asking this question. What is my specific role here? What am I supposed to be doing? And if I was doing it, would I know it? Or if I knew it, would I actually do it? And this is what I'm challenging all of us to do today, because your life will not truly have meaning and satisfaction unless you know you're fulfilling God's purpose. And I know there's a lot of doubt and a lot of questions, but look at this man, Nick, here. He could go... The world does not need a person with no arms or legs. The world doesn't need that. But you know how many people have come to Christ? And another, I don't know how when that was done like in 2009. Now I think he's seen over half a million people come to Christ. Half a million people come to Christ. Now, if he had arms and legs, who knows what he would have done. I don't know what he would have done or what he wouldn't have done. But the fact is this was a motivation for him. You see, one of the things we forget is sometimes the things that we don't like in life are the very things that cause us to motivate us to become something we wouldn't have if everything was just handed to us. Oh, it's exactly that way. It's exactly that way. And so when you pray, God, I want your will to come and your purpose and plan, you know, just be careful what you ask for. Because you may be facing some challenges because without those challenges, you know, nothing in life of real significance happens without challenge. There's resistance, isn't there? There's conflict. There's a spiritual battle going on over your faith. I mean, this is our spiritual battle over our faith to believe in God, that He has called us and we have a purpose. And when you begin to pursue that purpose, sometimes all hell does break loose. No, sometimes hell's breaking loose just because you're allowing it to, or you're involved with a lot of rigmarole and, you know, a lot of fleshly stuff, and flesh breeds corruption. But then the other hand, if you're actually pursuing the will of God, then there's actually hell itself trying to come against you. People wagging their tongues about you. People lying about you. People oppressing you or resisting you or rejecting you or all kinds of things. And you've got to say, you know, I'm going to do the best that I can and asking God to order my steps, and I'm not going to look to the right hand or the left. I'm going to pursue the calling of God upon my life. I'm going to pursue my purpose, and I'm going to do it starting today. I'm not going to wait for someday, the big break. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to start right now. I'm going to ask Jesus to start using me today, because you can't fulfill the purpose of God tomorrow, because tomorrow's not here. You can't fulfill the purpose of God yesterday, because yesterday is gone. You fulfill the purpose of God today. So I believe that everybody in here, if they stood up today and say, I'm going to walk in the purpose of God today, you'd be fulfilling the purpose of God. Now, God may need to change your direction. He may need to do some things. Or for a lot of you, you would just be able to say, I'm committed to what I already know God's called me to do. And if he wants to promote, if he wants to open another door, if he wants to change direction, he's got my attention. He's got my attention. But if you're pursuing the will of God, people say, well, how do you really know? How can you really be sure?
Well, look at this verse in Proverbs 20, verse 5, in the English Standard Version up here, Proverbs 25. It says, "The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." Here's what I believe about the purpose of God. It's not over here superficial just on the surface. It's something that is deep enough that you have to dig in order to find out what it is. You have to take some time to find out about yourself, about what God says about you, about your situation, so that you know that this I'm confident. Because once you find out the purpose of God and begin to do it, all hell will break loose. And all kinds of questions. Am I sure? Am I supposed to be doing this? I didn't know this was going to be so difficult. I thought this was, once you find out the purpose of God, aren't you just like, whoo, like on a skateboard? It's effortless. Well, there's a degree of being motivated by the wind of the Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Spirit, but there's also decisions that could just about crack you up sometimes. You mean, my purpose, I've got to, and I've got to say no to this, and yet, that's almost impossible. And then how can I be sure if I do that? Well, how can you be sure of God's existence? All right. How can you be sure that you're actually saved? How can you actually be sure of anything other than knowing in your heart what God says to you, believing what he says, and doing it? By faith, correct? By faith, everybody who pursued and fulfilled the plan and purpose of God did it by faith. And they did miraculous things by faith. How can you stand at the at the shore of a sea with millions of people behind you and God say, "Stretch out your staff and have that sea part"? But yet the whole world knows that Moses and the Israelites crossed over the Red Sea and escaped the Egyptians. It's literally historical fact. How can that happen? How can Joshua stand before an impenetrable city named Jericho and God say, "Oh, don't attack this. Don't attack this. Just march around it. Just get a marching band and march around it seven times and be real quiet. And then when I say, just shout at the top of your lungs." How in the world can a young teenager who's never been in battle come up against a 9.5-foot giant, the best warrior of the Philistines, and he comes up with a couple of rocks and a slingshot? We could go on and on and on for the rest of the morning telling you stories of people who by faith said, "This is my purpose." Now, when you know your purpose, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what bodies of water stand in front of you or obstacles stand in front of you. It doesn't matter what giants are standing in your way. All it means is that when they fall, God gets all the glory. Can you trust him? Can you trust him? So if you're pursuing your purpose, here's what he says, James chapter 1. Let's go throw it up on the screen here. James chapter 1. From the New Living Translation, it says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you." And I love this statement. He will not rebuke you for asking. Don't you feel stupid sometime when you feel stupid? That's what the definition of stupid is. When you feel stupid, you feel stupid. But God says, "I won't rebuke you for asking because you don't know anything. Ask me for wisdom. It comes from me." Verse 6. "However, when you do it, when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Ask God for the wisdom." This is where you're going to be able to see whether you really have faith. If you have faith in God alone, do not waver,
For a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Verse 7. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Verse 8. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So your faith has to be trusting in God. So you can ask God for wisdom, but if you think, well, now I'm going to go and rely upon my own strength, or I'm going to rely upon my circumstances, or my employer, or this person, or that person. No, that's unstable. You've got to have your faith totally in God. God's not going to share his glory with anybody else. And if you're not believing in him, then you're unstable, and you can't receive it. It's not that God doesn't want to give it to you. But you will get it if your faith is totally in trusting in God. So Paul, too, he said, I am focused on my mission. I am focused on the call that God has upon my life. He says this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He says, brethren and sisterin, I do not count myself as to have apprehended. I have not arrived, one translation says. I haven't gotten there yet. All right? So we're all on a journey. But the one thing I do, boy, God reminds me of this many, many times when I think of what coulda, shoulda, woulda been. He says, hey. He says, coulda, shoulda, woulda? Uh-uh. That's in the past. Now, you can learn from it, but don't dwell on it. In fact, Paul says, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to the things that are ahead, the vision that God has given me. I'm pressing forward to those things, reaching, pressing, like sweating and exerting energy and pursuing, as Paul said in Timothy, running after those things which are ahead. Verse 13, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward or the high spiritual calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's his aspiration, to press towards God's calling, God's purpose for his life. There's a lot of good things we can be about, but he says go for the high, heavenly, spiritual purpose upon your life. He says, I press towards the goal or the mark, the target. It comes from the Greek word scopus, where we get our word scope, telescope, microscope, things that get us into focus on one laser-like object. You know, in sports, there's a saying in sports, keep your eye on the ball, right? Well, here's what Paul is saying. Keep your eye on the call, not the ball. Keep your eye on the call. One way to lose, to get sidetracked, is not to keep your eye on the call. How many of you think that there's a few things that could distract you from the purpose of God in life? Let's shout out a couple of them. What could distract you from the purpose of God? Television. Telephone. Other people. Social media. Fake book. Temptations. What? Opal? Pleasures. Yeah. Concerns, worries, fears, anxieties, doubts. All kinds of things could distract us from the call of God. So what has to happen is those things are going to be there. Social media is going to be there. Phone calls are going to be there. Television is going to be there. Entertainment is all the stuff that we want to do is going to be there. And you know what? There's a time and place for everything. But you can't get your eye off the call. Keep your eye on the call if you want to fulfill God's purpose. That's what Paul says here. Keep your eye on the call to win the supreme heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So, number one, pursue your purpose or your life will be meaningless. Number two, God has blessed you to be a blessing. God has blessed you to be a blessing. I will not go negative here, but the fact is so many of us are seeking comfort over commitment. We want to make sure that we'll do this for God as long as I'm comfortable at it, as long as, you know, there's not a lot of sacrifice involved. Well, let's just get past all that because there is no such thing, okay? If you want that, all right, I'm going to lose you here because you weren't called for a purpose so that you could enjoy all the blessings that God has given you. You will enjoy them on the way, but you were blessed so that you could be a blessing to others. When God says he's given you a spiritual gift, the gift isn't for you. The gift is for you to give to other people. The gift is for you to give to other people. Can I have somebody say amen? All right. Even if you don't mean it, go ahead. You see, remember when God called Abraham, leave your country, leave your family, okay? Well, that's kind of what the call of God is sometimes, not necessarily literally, but there are things when you follow the call of God you have to say no to. And then he says, Abraham, he says, whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And he says, because of you, Abraham, I will bless all nations. And we understand that because of the lineage of Jesus came out of Abraham's loins. But yet, it's the same principle. Whatever calling is upon our life, he has called us with the purpose that we have so that we can be a blessing to the people around us and to the world that we live in. All right? You are a blessing to be a blessing to others. 1 Peter 4:10 in the Living Bible, I think it's up here, says this. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kind of blessings. What does it say? I don't know. Maybe I misread that. God has given to some of you special abilities. God has given to the pastor some special. What does it say? Turn to somebody and tell them you're an each. Now, I don't have the word of knowledge here to go through the congregation and tell you what each of your special abilities is, but I do know that the Bible says you each have a special ability. What you'll need to find out is what your special ability is. Why? Because he says, be sure just to use it for your own selfish desires, or just use it for your own family, or just use it on your job, or just use it whenever you want. I'm sorry, I keep messing up this translation. This is the Living Bible, so that's kind of changing on me. Be sure to use them to what? Who is each other? Turn to somebody and say, you're in each other. Okay, so now we know that you're in each. We know that each of you are in each, and that each has a special ability, and that each person with a special ability is to make sure they use their special abilities to help each other. And he's talking to Christians here, not that you can't help other people, but he's talking to Christians, he's talking to the church here, to help each other in the church. So next time your cat's in the tree, don't call Pastor Tom. Call David Robinson. All right, use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kind of blessings. So whatever you've been blessed with, use that to help each other. Pass those blessings on. Those blessings are not given for you just to be blessed. They're given for you to bless other people. They're given for you to bless other people. And now, I'm sure Nick, this guy, couldn't come over and help me, you know, put siding on my house or repair my roof or vacuum my carpet. But he could do some things that he's been blessed with that will bless me. His testimony blessed me. Seriously. I mean, there are several points in there where his story changed my life. There may be a blessing that you have that you don't even know you have. And God says, be sure to use them to help each other. We should have accountability partners. That's what we should have. We should say, okay, I'm going to hold you accountable to making sure that you use your special gifts to be a blessing, that you pass on God's many blessings to other people. How about that? Okay. So, if you want to pursue your purpose, Pastor Tom believes that according to this scripture, you are to use your purpose to help other people. Anybody disagree with that? Do we have a church split right here? Anybody disagree? No? We're all in agreement? We're in unity? Okay. So then the question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You're going to discover what your special ability is. You're going to be able to then pass it on to somebody you approve of, somebody who's never hurt you, somebody you like totally, somebody who looks like you they should look, somebody that deserves what you have to offer them. You know, why do you talk like this, Pastor Tom? Because this is the way some people think. I mean, they wouldn't say it out loud. They just think, well, I'm going to reserve the special blessings that I have for the people I approve of. We were in a little lunch with some of the kids the other day with some of your family, Brother Delvin, and one of them was pointing out that the other person on the table was judging another person at the table. And they said, well, they're not supposed to be judging. You know, these kids are just learning the Bible. You know, they must be judging. And I said, I said, well, that could be. I said, are you judging them for judging? And they're like, well, no, I'm just stating the truth. Okay, all right. So what we have to understand is he doesn't qualify who we get to bless. We are a blessing to each other, whether they look like us, they act like us, whether we understand them, all right? There's no prejudice here. We are a blessing to whoever God puts in our life. Can you do that? That's part of your purpose, to be a blessing to others. Think of all the inventors that have gone before us. You know, Louis Pasteur, who invented pasteurization, which allows us to eat all kinds of food now that's healthy or without bacteria in it, or all the vaccines that he invented, or maybe another inventor like Thomas Edison, who we get to have these beautiful light bulbs, or all the music industry, or the communications industry. He invented all these things. I mean, he didn't just invent them for himself or just for just an idea. He shared all these with us. We could go through discoverers in the world, like Christopher Columbus, who discovered the New World, or some of our political leaders or civil leaders, Abraham Lincoln, who led in one of the most difficult times of our country, who served. Probably was the hardest job on the planet at the time, and he stayed with it and prayed for God's guidance. Dr. Martin Luther King, who stood up for others' rights. I mean, he could have probably had his own comfortable lifestyle somewhere, but he stood up for others' rights and gave his life so that others could have freedom and their civil rights. So we all have a life. We all have a gift from God, and he's called us to use our life and our gift to serve him. And when you do that, and you see lives change around you, I mean, for some reason, that could be the very answer to the things that you're seeking. You may think, well, I just need more money. Well, you could just have more money, and then you could just have more of the things that you don't like already. Just more headaches. Or you could have more of this. You could have more friends, and then you just have more conflict. Or you could have more of anything that you think that you need. But that's not what you need. What you really need is to understand the purpose of God and carry it out. So what is your purpose? What are you gifted to help others with? How can you bless other people? What is your purpose? You're called to use it to help serve in the body of Christ, to help build up his church. Do you know that 98%, it's close, it's high, 95, 98% of the things that need to be done in church can be done by almost anyone. Can be done by almost anyone. And so I would challenge you, as part of your purpose is to find the thing that you're good at and step up and help your local church here or the body of Christ somewhere to do what only you can do, or what maybe others can do, but what you're gifted at doing. All right, number three, the last one here. This is a little bit more of an eternal thing here, but we only get rewarded for what God has called us to do. In other words, we don't get rewarded for doing what somebody else is called to do. And so we can't compare our calling with anyone else's. There are some similarities, but we have a unique, specific calling. We only get rewarded for what God has called us to do. Remember, He's prepared good works for us before we were ever born. And we find out what those are, what we're called to do, and we begin to walk in them. We begin to walk in them. God isn't going to reward us for fulfilling somebody else's calling or purpose. He's going to reward us for being who He's called us to be. And I love that. It's God has created everybody unique. And we need to just be who we're called to be. I remember when I became a pastor, the first few months, I'm like, wow, you know, these preachers that are real popular, that or at least popular in my sphere, I thought, you know, I could just, maybe I could speak like them. You know, Kenneth Copeland, he would open his services with this statement, "Open your Bibles." I'm like, that sounds really anointed. I think I'll get up in front of the church and I'll start with, "Open your Bibles." And everybody go, "Oh." Or Joel Osteen, "Hold up your Bibles. This is my Bible. It says I am what it says I am." Or whoever. And then one day God says, "Why are you trying to be someone else?" Well, because I think other people like other people. I mean, I think they like certain preachers, and maybe they'll like me if I'm like them. He goes, "But I haven't called you to be like them." I've called you to be you, and if they don't like who you're called to be, that isn't your problem. I went, hallelujah. Because it was harder being somebody I wasn't than it's being myself. You're always going to come in second place when you're trying to be somebody you're not. Be yourself. Be comfortable with who you are. Talk like you talk. Act like you act. You know, repent like you need to repent. Just be who you are. Have some dignity. You know, I don't lead worship. And I joke about this because this is one of the things in church sometimes people think they can sing when they can't sing. You know what? If you can't, you can't. There's a lot of, as I get this expression in my older years now, I say, you know, I'm good at a lot of things, but that is not one of them. Whatever it is, I'm good at some things. I really am good at some things, and I'm okay at some things, and there are some things you don't want me anywhere near those things. If it comes to planting a garden, you don't want me even in the, you don't want even me looking at the garden. The only thing I can grow is trees and weeds. That's about it. And sometimes they don't even grow when I'm around. Trees and weeds. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. But then there are some things I am really good at. I can put together an awesome music DVD and slideshows, and I can put together this, and I can play drums pretty well, and I can hear harmonies and this, that. But but leading worship, I don't think that's a, we might need a healing service when I'm done. Sometimes we just want to do something because we think it's glamorous or because we like that thing. Well, it's nothing. It's okay to try some things, but sometimes you are not gifted at that. We had a lady in our church one time who was a people person, and we thought, well, maybe the best thing for her to do is to stand at the door and hand out bulletins because then she could just greet everybody. It was wonderful. It was a wonderful idea. What we found out was only one person got a bulletin. Because she handed out that bulletin, and then she started talking to everybody, and none of the bulletins got handed out. There's nothing wrong with that, all right? So now we've put Lorna in a chair over here so that she can't move. And so there's a specific ability that every single one of us has for the thing that God has called us to do. And what you need to do is, you need to be okay with that, right, Pastor Lori? You need to be okay with that. Pastor Lori and I have some differences, okay? We may see things differently. Sometimes we have to talk about those differences because when you see things a certain way, you think you're right, But you're not necessarily right. And sometimes it's not about being right. It's about there are more than one way of doing things. Okay? And so you have to learn that somebody else has a special ability, and it's not always yours, but you got to be who God's called you to be. That really is dignity. So the other thing that sometimes we think, well, I would like to do what somebody else does because what they are called to do is easier. No, it's different, but it's not necessarily easier. The grass isn't greener somewhere else. The grass isn't greener. The grass is greener where you water it. Delvin's writing that down. He's putting that on his bumper sticker. I can see that. The grass is greener where you water it. Not where somebody else is or what somebody else is doing, all right? The race isn't easier in someone else's shoes. The purpose that you have is unique. You don't have somebody else's purpose. God will give you the grace that you need to fulfill the purpose he's given you. He has prepared you and equipped you for the master's use. All you have to do is what Paul told Timothy. Be a vessel of gold and silver. All right? Flee the youthful desires and lusts that try to keep you away from things of God and pursue God's plan and purpose and calling upon your life. Prepare your vessel by separating yourself and keeping yourself pure. Just say yes to whatever God asks you to do, even if you find it challenging, even if you find yourself not lacking confidence, if you feel like it's what God called you to do, pursue. Take a step of faith. If you see God blessing it, take a step of faith. All of a sudden, if you say, you know, that was just my idea, sometimes you just have your own ideas, right, Kurt? All right. Other times, you think it's your idea, but really God is speaking to you. You got to know that. Sometimes you think it's your idea. I mean, how is God going to speak to you? I mean, how many times in the Bible did God write handwriting on the wall? Is that only once, I believe? Once that I can think of. All right. Just one time, and it was a warning to a rebellious king. How many times, you know, does God come down and appear to people? Not very often. How many times does he speak audibly? Not very often. Normally, when we hear the voice of God, we hear it as something in our own head or our own heart. And we have to be able to say, I'm going to pursue by faith what I feel like God is telling me to do. One thing you do know after today, that the will of God and the purpose of God is to find your special abilities and make sure you share it with each other. All right, last thing I want to say about this, that you will be rewarded for your calling and not somebody else's. When Paul was in Ephesus, he spent about a year and a half there or so, building up the church, talking to them. And then it was time for him to leave and go to Rome. Thank God he went to Rome, because that's where that was the center of the universe at the time, or the world, and all the Roman soldiers then could hear the gospel, and they could go out and spread it all over the world. So Paul wanted to go to Rome because he knew it was the most important city on the planet. However, when Paul was traveling around Asia and around all the cities, here's what it says happened to him in Acts 20. It says this, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem." He's getting ready to leave Ephesus, and he goes, "Now I go bound in the Spirit." What does that mean? That he has got a call from God, and he has submitted himself as a slave to the plans and purposes of God. I love this, because sometimes if you're not a slave to the plans and purposes of God, anything will make you quit. Ah, it's too hard. Ah, people don't approve. Ah, da, 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 ah, da, da, da. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. It's too much energy. I'm not gifted. I mean, there's a whole checklist, a whole flip chart of things that will cause you to get you quit, unless you are bound in the Spirit to say, no matter what happens, I'm pursuing the plan and purpose of God. "Now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies." In other words, everywhere I go, I'm getting a prophecy from somebody that says, in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Hey, Paul, let's pray for you. Believe the Lord's going to say when you go to Rome, they're going to tie you up and kill you. Oh, really? Thanks for that word. Hey, another city. Paul, I believe the Lord's telling me that you're going to have great success in Rome, except they're going to lock you up and they're going to chop your head off. Hey, Paul, I got a word for you. Paul, you're a great man of God. You're called to be an apostle. You're writing many things, except when you go to Rome, they're going to torture you and kill you. Well, I like the prophet, the apostle part. I like the great man of God part. How many of you are going to still go to Rome if they know they're going to torture you and kill you? I've got a great destiny for you, Bill. You're going to write many songs, and somebody's going to hear them and not like them and chop your fingers off. Well, that's kind of what it's like. He'll play drums. Verse 24, Rachel. So I decided not to go to Rome because it looked too difficult for me. Is that what it says? What does it say? Read it with me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Spirit Life Church, in the end, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. All right? I understand we're in a culture where it's popular for a pastor to stand up here and tell you, you know, God wants to bless you right now, and you're going to have a great life, and here's how to have a happy wife and a happy life and happy children and a happy career and a happy this and a happy that. I don't know, going to Rome and having your head cut off is happy. Happy, 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 happy. Happy, happy, happy. I don't know that that's something I would look forward to, except that Paul said, doesn't move me. Chop my head off, lock me up, torture me. And? Sometimes that word at the end of a threat, at the end of a challenge, it's just all that needs to be said. Yeah, and things are going to be tough when you follow the call of God. And we follow a man that was crucified for trying to help people and saying he was God. We revere and read the words of God through a man named Paul of Tarsus, who gave his life to spread the gospel to the world. If he was afraid to go to Rome, we may not be here today. The gospel may have just stayed in that small little corner of East Asia or Asia Minor in Turkey. He said, I'm leaving Ephesus. I'm leaving Turkey, and I'm going to Rome because I have a message. All the prophetic words that told me things are going to be really, really tough. This comes with the territory. Comes with the territory. Do it without arms and legs. Do it without money. Do it without confidence. Do it without ability. Well, all I got to say is all the reasons why you haven't been doing it really aren't reasons. They're just excuses. I just say, if God's called you, just do the Nike thing. Just do it. Do what God's called you to do. Find out your gifts and follow the plans and purposes of God. Let's stand up on our feet this morning. Hope I encouraged you to be a good soldier in Christ, to find your plan and purpose. Okay. So let's just lift up our hands today. So I want us to give us an opportunity to surrender to the purposes of God. Now, maybe you don't know what they are today. Maybe your mind was on other things other than that. But I will tell you this. I believe that God wants you to know, and he also wants you to know that his purpose for your life is more important than anything that you're going through. That if you pursue the purpose of God, the things that in the rest of your life, he can work out. He can work out. So I've always believed this. If you take care of God's business, he'll take care of your business. It takes trust, but let's put our trust in him today. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to show me beyond a shadow of a doubt what my plan and purpose on this earth is. I want to be led by your Spirit, not to be driven by my flesh. I want to pursue righteousness and run from the lusts of my flesh. I want to have your wisdom to carry out your will for my life. I make a commitment this day to pursue my God-given purpose. And I repent, which means I turn away from all the distractions that would keep me from doing what you've called me to do. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone in here who prayed that prayer. I ask that your Holy Spirit would just fill them now. Fill them. This is what you do, Holy Spirit. You come and fill us with the abilities that you want us to have to move in the direction you've called us to. To be able to make tough choices when it comes to our relationships, our lifestyle, our ideas, our attitudes. To be able to pursue the things that you've called us to do uniquely. Now, God, I just pray for everyone in here that you would just fill them with the joy that Paul had, that fulfilling their purpose will be full of joy and peace. I pray for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen.